Well, it is a joy to be able to teach again so soon. Today, we're going to continue our series, Keep Singing, in the book of Psalms, as we look at Psalm 121. Psalm 121 is known as a song of confidence. It was sung by travelers who put their trust in God while gearing up to face unknown dangers on the road ahead. This song offers a huge boost of hope while purposely repeating truths about God's character over and over. The psalmist wants the reader to remember this song. And we know that songs, right, often help us commit things to memory. Songs we learned in our childhood help us remember important and crucial information. Do you remember any of the songs that you learned as a child? How about an oldie but a goodie? You ready? A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Okay. How many of you thought L-M-N-O was a letter? Or what about Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas? Okay, fewer. Okay, the 50 nifty United States are really important for us to remember, aren't they? Well, I don't know if you had the opportunity to learn this particular song, but I was asked this week by Troy, who is also my boss, and I felt a little pressured, if I learned the song about putting the books of the Bible in order. Yay! Yeah, he asked me that while he was singing it to me. I didn't learn that song, and I still don't know the books of the Bible in order, but it is not my fault. You see, Troy had a great kids pastor who took the time to teach him that really crucial song. While my kids pastor chose to make us laugh periodically by pulling out his false teeth while giving the Bible lesson. And I mean, like, he pulled them all the way out. Yeah, that is seared into my brain instead of a beautiful song that would be helpful and handy for me to know the books of the Bible in order. So, all right, songs can help us learn necessary truths, right? That we can access later on in life. Well, our family started a tradition years ago, and we learned this song from another family who wanted to make mealtime a little bit more engaging for their kids. Well, Greg and I loved this song so much that when we had a family, we decided we're going to teach our kids this song as well. We want our children to learn gratitude for the food that we eat. We don't want this prayer time to be mere ritual or just going through the motions where we just kind of say the same thing every night. So we wanted to allow our kids just this opportunity to engage their brain, engage their heart, and understand their provision comes from God. And I'd like you to help me out with this song today. I want you to lift your arms up, okay? But you've got to, like, really commit to this. Okay, so unless you have a medical situation, I really want your arms up. This is for my benefit, okay? All right. So the straighter your arms, the more God's going to hear your prayers. So, all right. So just keep your arms up. If you know this song, sing it with me. If you don't, keep your arms up anyway. Oh, yeah. All right, here we go. Thank you, Lord, for giving us food. Thank you, Lord, for giving us food. Our daily bread, for keeping us fed. Thank you, Lord, for giving us food. Amen. Okay, I want you to see the real deal.
Thank you, Lord, for giving us food. Thank you, Lord, for giving us food. Our daily bread, for keeping us fed. Thank you, Lord, for giving us food. Amen.
That is actually a carrot stick that we just cleaned off and had them eat because I was tired. okay. And I didn't steam it or chop it or do anything else with it. I just pulled it out and said, you need to eat this. Okay. All right. It's a simple truth, isn't it? We want to instill this truth that God is our provider. And we want our kids to remember where their provision comes from. And similarly, the Psalms of Ascent were meant to be sung as a reminder of God's character and faithfulness. These songs were sung as the Israelites traveled to and from religious festivals. They were literally taking a journey with unknown dangers on the open road. These songs were meant to bring confidence to their travels, and not just on the road, but to remind them of God's character in their journey through life. The psalmist intends to implant the truth about who God is into the hearts and minds of the reader. And as I mentioned earlier, this psalm is a song of confidence. Do you need a boost of confidence in Christ today? Me too. Just in the past week, literally the last 7 days, we have heard about and perhaps even personally experienced incredible challenges. The complete unrest in Afghanistan, earthquakes, fires, floods, the surge of COVID cases, and the list keeps going. Yet in this passage, we will find a repeated message emphasized by the author. And it's also a message that we hear on a regular basis from Pastor Troy, that no matter what, God's got you. Would you pray with me before we journey through Psalm 121? Jesus, I believe you have something very special to say to us today. I believe you are with us right now, and that you want to infuse us with confidence in who you are and how you take care of us. Would you help us to hear your words and your truth today? And Lord, for those of us who might be struggling to even want to be in your presence, would you wrap your arms around us and help us to receive these next few moments with you, to open our hearts so that you can do what only you can do in our lives. Lord, we're here, either in person or online, and that means something, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Psalm 121 became my favorite psalm when I was 17 years old. It was while reading this song that I really began to understand that the maker of heaven and earth wanted to help me. He was not only so very powerful, he was also personal. And I'd like to read this psalm in its entirety, and then we're going to go back and look at each verse. But let's start in verse 1. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Notice the first two verses are different from the rest of the song. The writer starts off on a personal note. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He identifies the question, where does my help come from? And then he immediately answers with, the maker of heaven and earth. I loved the shift in these first two verses. I imagine the psalmist feeling overwhelmed, just asking this big question, what am I gonna do? Help! And then right on cue, the Holy Spirit, our counselor, whispers in his heart, hey, your help comes from the Lord. And right there and then, the psalmist is stopped in his tracks because it dawns on him once again, I have the Lord. The maker of heaven and earth is the one who helps me. All right. Yes. God's got me. He says, my help comes from the Lord. The writer here uses the Hebrew word ezer to describe the kind of help that God offers. Our English language doesn't quite capture the full sense of the word for help. This is not mere assistance. This help is salvation, deliverance. This is the kind of help only God can do. This is the kind of help we need when we are powerless to change the outcome of our circumstances. When we're experiencing something that is beyond our control. In this passage, the writer paints a picture not only of a road trip, but also the journey through life. It's possible he became overwhelmed considering what might happen as he sets out on his travels. What if he gets robbed? What if he gets lost? What if he runs out of food or gets injured? These concerns make sense, right? But we also know that he's referring to the day-to-day activities in life. What about in your life? Do you have some what ifs? What if my child falls in with the wrong crowd? What if I lose my job? What if this relationship doesn't last? Or what about when inadequacy, inability, or incompetency surface in your life? You bombed the interview. You didn't make the cut. Your teenager won't listen. It can feel hopeless. It can certainly feel helpless. When we're facing uncertainty and what-if possibilities, it can shake our faith. It can rattle us. So much so that we begin looking for and asking for help. Help that is bigger than us. And here we see this, that the psalmist is looking for that kind of help. So he looks up. He says, where does my help come from? He lifts his eyes to the mountains. He remembers that his help, his salvation, his deliverance comes from the God who is utterly powerful and utterly personal. He knows God's got him. What about when we don't look for help? Maybe we try it on our own first. I'm reacting. Of course, I never do that. Oh, have you ever found yourself spinning your wheels until you've exhausted your own strength and resources? Maybe you even touch bottom and you're out of tricks. What if you went straight to God before tapping into your own resources? You may very well end up doing it the same way because God does give us wisdom. But I bet you'd have more strength, more peace, more patience as you handle it with him. We often talk about spiritual disciplines, and this is why we need regular connection with Christ. Getting his truth into our hearts and minds gives us strength to call on him when we don't know what else to do. We're reminded that we have a helper, and he can do the impossible, and he has our backs. A long time ago, over 20 years ago, Greg and I did an internship overseas, and we lived with an American couple, and they had this embroidered pillow on their couch. And every morning I would creep into the kitchen quietly because I didn't want to wake anybody up. And I would see that pillow, and it really annoyed me. And there's probably a lot of reasons why I was fussy that summer. I was overseas. I was out of my own culture. I didn't speak the language. I was struggling. We were newly married. It was a lot. And every morning that pillow would... It was like it followed me or stalked me, okay? This message that was embroidered. I think now, looking back, it was probably the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But at the time, I didn't know that. And this is what the pillow said. It didn't really say this to me, but it felt like it was talking to me. It said, "A day hemmed in prayer is less likely to become unraveled." I don't sew. I wish I did. I have a lot of respect for people that do, but I know what a hem is. And I know what that means. And for the last 23 years, wow, long time, that has made an imprint in my mind and in my life. And I remember that. When I'm fussing and I'm struggling and I'm trying to use my own strength. Okay, in the next verses, we see how the recognition of the one who is helping him shifts from a question into full-on confidence. Verse 3, he says, "He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber." Here the psalmist could be referring back to the literal narrow paths or steep climbs as he travels. Certainly, if we're hiking, we don't want our feet to slip from the path. But what about in your journey through life? What's your metaphorical foot slipping? What are you afraid of? The writer would remind you, he who watches over you will not slumber. In fact, the writer makes a point to repeat the Hebrew word shamar 6 times in the final 6 verses of the passage. He's really hammering this point home so that we remember. The Hebrew word shamar means to keep, to watch over, to guard. Let's look at how the writer uses this word. So we're going to look at verses 3 through 8. "He who keeps you will not slumber. Indeed, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord keeps you. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your coming and going." Do you see the pattern? The word keep and watch come from the same Hebrew word, and both speak to God's vigilant protection. Let's see how his vigilant protection looks like in verse 4. "Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." This may address the obvious. But I love that the writer reminds himself and us that God doesn't need to sleep. He doesn't need a full 8 hours of shut-eye to do his best work. Verse 4 says, "He neither slumbers. indicating he doesn't even doze off lightly or rest his eyes. He doesn't fall asleep on the job. In fact, God is so attentive to us that he won't even let our foot slip. He's watching our feet. Now, just for a second, I want you to imagine if God actually needed 8 hours of sleep each night so that, you know, he could do a good job being God. What in the world would we do in those 8 hours? I mean, in what time zone would he take that sleep? Okay? Right? This is practical. If God was asleep, I mean, would we leave our house? Would we leave our bed? Would we just cover our head and just call it a day? I would imagine that I would try to control and figure everything out and exhaust myself. But God doesn't need sleep. He doesn't need what we need to do a good job, to be by our side, to be vigilant, watching our every move, being right next to us in the storms and in the celebrations. God is personal, and he is our helper. Verse 5, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. What a picture of God's companionship right alongside of us. He's not watching with binoculars from a distance. He's walking next to us. Scholars believe that this phrase, the shade at your right hand, refers to when a soldier carried a shield. He would carry it in his left hand, but his right hand would be exposed. A soldier would always desire to have a friend or ally walking next to him to protect the exposed area of his body. The psalmist is relaying a metaphorical picture here of how God walks next to us during our battles, where we are vulnerable. When you feel defeated, weak, and perhaps even worthless, when you feel like no one cares, when you're fighting an uphill battle, God wants you to know he's your ally. He's right there with you. Verse 6 says, the sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Along the same theme as God as protector, the psalmist includes the dangers from being in the sun and in the moonlight. Now, while the dangers of the sun may make more sense to us, especially living in our high elevation, in ancient times, the dangers of the moonlight were shrouded in superstition. They were considered a threat. Scholars believe the psalmist uses the example of a night watchman here to show the depth of commitment that the Lord has made to protect us. How many of you experience sleepless nights when you're facing deep fear of the unknown or circumstances that are out of your control? The writer is making a point that whether we face dangers during the day or even in the middle of the night, God's got us. These last two verses seem to be the crescendo in this song. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. This is the moment the mic drops. Boom. But let's go back and lean into these verses today. We're going to give ourselves time to really feel the weight of these words. He will keep us from all harm. Okay, maybe God had me in that season, but this season, there's no way he's not sleeping. There's no way he's really watching over me, because This is too much, Lord. Some of you know what I've been through in the last couple of years, and I know what some of you have been through in the last couple of years as well. How can the psalmist say this? Some scholars believe the writer is referring to protection in our daily life. But even more so, in the unseen realm where our truest threats lie. For example, Psalm 23:4, we may very well walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but we are not alone. The maker of heaven and earth goes through the scariest times with us. And we know that we will have trouble. Jesus tells us to count on it. In John 16:33, he said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. I wish you would have stopped there. I don't want to hear any more. Just give me the peace. But he doesn't stop. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. Full stop. He doesn't expand on that. But he makes a point. But he goes on to say, but take heart. I have overcome the world. The psalmist isn't saying to us that nothing bad will ever happen to us. He's reminding us that God's still got us when bad things happen. There is nothing in our lives that comes as a surprise to God. If it did, then how could we possibly trust him? He sees everything, and nothing happens to us without God's knowledge and without his permission. Do we trust him in our lives? What if we experience things that are out of our control? What if we lose our loved one? What if we hear a bad report from our doctor? The psalmist repeats once again, God's got you. Maybe you grew up like me, where you learned more about victory in Jesus than suffering and pain. It's certainly not a pleasant or popular subject. The largest collection of songs in the book of Psalms is the songs of lament. There's a reason they are in there, because life can be so very hard. God doesn't promise us the absence of trials and problems, but he does promise to take us through them. I have to admit, while preparing this teaching this week, I got a little hung up, just a little bit, on these last two verses. What bothers me, there's two things about these two verses, is that I regularly see fellow travelers give up on God when trouble comes into their lives. I know it's not as simple as that. It's always complicated. But this passage is about God's character and reminds us that we can count on him in the worst of times. When life confronts us and the rug gets ripped out underneath of us and we feel utterly dismayed, discouraged, and disappointed, God's really got us. He won't let go. He won't walk away. He won't forget about us or what we need or where we need to go. He will finish what he started in each of our lives. But we have to hold on to him. We can question him. We can shout at him. We can get mad and have a tantrum. But he won't let go of us. He won't and he can't because it goes against his very character. But honestly, what really bothered me about these two verses was my own pain. In the midst of grieving the loss of my oldest son earlier this year and continuing to walk in an overwhelming uncertainty of my youngest son's battle with cancer, I recognized this week a layer of anger I have towards God. And with the prayers and help of one of my spiritual friends, I recognized an invitation to forgive God. Forgiving God sounds absurd. He has done nothing to be forgiven for because he's flawless. But rereading a familiar book to us in our community that's been recommended many times, it's called The Art of Forgiving by author Lewis Smedes. He acknowledges the human need and emotion we have at times to release forgiveness towards God when what has happened to us doesn't feel redeemable or make any sense at all, especially when we know that God could have stopped it or prevented it in the first place. I take great comfort from his words, and I'd like to share them with you today. What I need more than a reasonable explanation of why we feel so much pain is simple courage to put out my hand and walk hand in hand through the suffering with my divine fellow sufferer. The question is, to what destination? The answer, to wherever he is leading us. In my pain, I have lost some trust that God has my back. I wonder if you have felt this way in your life. I realized that this lack of trust was a way of protecting myself from continuing the uncertain and unknown journey of faith with Christ. While I have been content to trust that his ways are higher than mine, I have continued to worship him and connect with him. But I have also held back from giving him my hand to fully walk through life no matter what else I might encounter. I've been really hesitant to just give him my hand and keep going. Sometimes it's easier to trust him for our eternal life than it is to trust him in the day-to-day. God's got us for eternity and right here and right now. God invites us to keep walking with him, to pray big prayers, and not let fear of the unknown or fear of being utterly disappointed separate us from walking hand in hand with Christ. In the New Testament, Paul prays an incredible prayer of faith and confidence. It reminds me of the song of confidence that we've studied today. And I'd like to read it to you. It's found in Ephesians chapter 3, and it starts in verse 16. He says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and amen. Our series in the book of Psalms this summer has reminded us to rest when we are restless, to look for his presence when all hell is breaking loose, to sing and worship him with our songs, to lift up his name, to lament, to feel what we feel and embrace the pain that we experience in this life, while also remembering our Savior sits in our sorrow with us. And today, Psalm 121 is a boost of confidence that God never rests. He never takes a break. He walks alongside of us through everything. He is powerful, he is personal, and he's got us. Normally, we conclude in prayer, but today I'd like to invite you to stand with me. And we're going to read Psalm 121 as a community out loud. And you know, if you feel like putting your arms up while we read this psalm together, I want to invite you to do that. We had some people in Park City last night. They had their arms up. Yes, during this psalm. Okay, let's read it together. And as we do, I want you to picture your what ifs. I want you to think about what this last week was like. Maybe for you personally, or maybe for a loved one. And I want you to think about maybe what you might be dreading in this coming week. And in faith, even the smallest amount, would you say and declare this psalm over your own life? Let's read. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Amen. This week, I want to invite you to apply this passage into your life. Write this psalm out. Put it in your own words. He will not let my foot slip. The Lord will watch over my coming and my going. Memorize Psalm 121 so that you can access this truth when you need it most. And there's a song that I have played over and over in the last few weeks. And it's called Truth I'm Standing On by Leanna Crawford. I want to give you this song as a suggestion to listen to, or perhaps you find your own song of confidence to get God's truth in your heart and in your life so that it is there. You have access to it. Our verse for the week and our graphic will be available later on this week. If you have prayer requests, oh, it is such a joy and it is such a privilege for our team of prayer warriors to receive your requests and to pray with you. Thank you.
Friends, I'm glad you came to church today. I want to tell you what we're doing next week. Next Saturday and Sunday at our weekend services will be the conclusion of our series through the Psalms. And so We're open to go out right. So we're going to do this little practice we've had through this series of every once in a while singing through the Psalms. So next week I'm going to be teaching from Psalm 130. If you want to read ahead, we're going to have Tim and the band walk us through this psalm. And I want to encourage you to open your heart to God and prepare your heart before you come to church next weekend. This is what I want to pray for all of you. No matter where life finds you right now, whether you're on the mountaintop, in the meadow, in the valley, or in the desert, may you never forget that God's got you. Thanks for coming today. Grace and peace.